city, our state, our choices. This is special election night coverage and conversation on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Here's Justin Kaufman.
Welcome to special coverage of election night in Chicago. I'm your host, Justin Kaufman. Low turnout on this blustery Tuesday in February may dampen some spirits, but for political nerds, this election is Christmas come early. 14 candidates are vying to replace the outgoing mayor who shocked the political world by not running for re-election. This set the stage for a flurry of political power brokering and posturing. Who would be the one to replace Mayor Rahm Emanuel? Also, a large number of candidates watched a strength turn into a weakness as powerful Alderman Ed Burke was indicted. What should have been an election to court Burke's endorsement turned into a game of political hot potato. If you like storylines like those, this is the election for you. It's a field that includes Tony Preckwinkle, the new Chicago Democrat boss. The Cook County Board president has bided her time and amassed a ground game supported by labor and the remnants of the Chicago machine. Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza doesn't lose elections. As a matter of fact, she's the second highest vote getter in the state of Illinois. Will that organization translate to the office on the fifth floor at City Hall? Bill Daley, a man who made his name in the private sector, but it's a name that has been atop of the political mountain in Chicago for over half a century. Will he follow in his father and his brother's footsteps? And after a long, drawn-out battle to choose the progressive candidate, the candidate of choice is former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot, who has run a strong campaign to clean up corruption in City Hall. And a new name has entered the arena, Chance the Rapper. The hip-hop artist has put his muscle behind West Side activist Amara Enya, and they hope to rally Chicago's youth. We could go on and on. We got Willie Wilson, Gary McCarthy, Jerry Joyce Jr., Gary Chico, and Paul Vallis. They've all carved out a piece of the pie, but will it be enough? And tonight's not just about the mayor's race. What will the new city council look like in 2019? Powerful incumbents are vulnerable, and new faces are poised to represent their neighborhoods. All of this could be settled tonight or set the table for April 2nd. It's March Madness, and at the end of February, March Madness, and politics once again has proven, in fact, to be the best game in town. Strap in, folks. It's election night in Chicago on 720 WGN. WGN 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Wow, we are ready for a night tonight. We have a panel of guests that are in studio with us. But before we do that, I want to bring in Andrea Darlis, who will be checking in with results all evening long. Andrea, of course, following the turnout numbers. That seems to be the big story to start the election night. There was talk that this was going to be a historic low, but in the last couple hours, it spiked. Where are we on the numbers?
Right now, we're at about 430,000 voters. That number will increase, obviously, because the polls just closed about 10 minutes or so. At one point, Justin, about a half an hour ago, it was about 28%. We are on pace to hit that 30%, but this would be a record low in Chicago. Incidentally, what I found, some of these stats that just really kind of blew my mind today, there's 20,000 vote-by-mail ballots that have not been returned yet, and there seems to be a very dismal turnout among millennials. Chicago voters between the ages of 25 and 34, last November, that group cast 189,000 ballots. Today, fewer than 52.
Ooh, there you go. So a little hangover, if you will, for the millennial voters. We'll check in with Andrea Darlis throughout the evening. She'll give us the results and continue our coverage here in special coverage of the election. In studio, Eric Zorn. He is in the honorary Paul Green chair tonight. He, of course, the Chicago Tribune columnist and is a frequent contributor here to WGN Radio and different programs and podcasts. Good to see you, Eric.
The Paul Green chair, man, that's some pressure.
Right? And the late Paul Green was a big fixture here in WGN in our election coverage, so it's big shoes to fill, but Eric is going to fill them. So, Eric, what are you looking for tonight? What has grabbed your attention this afternoon?
Well, this low turnout to me suggests that the campaigns with the most organization, the best field operation, are going to probably do better. That if you didn't have people out there whipping your voters out to the polls, you weren't getting them out to the polls, and so that's going to have to favor people like Daley and Preckwinkle and Mendoza and Chico and the people who had something of a ground game going. That would be my only sense from this. I still think that we don't really know what's going to happen here. Obviously, it's very early.
And we're going to get to the panel in just a moment here. But you know, as much as everybody wants to know about the mayoral race because it's just historic in the amount of candidates there are some great aldermanic races as well.
Oh, there's a ton of them. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I made a whole list of all of them here. We're going to be following as they come in. I mean, what we want to see, you know, is Alderman Burke going to be reelected given all of his problems? You know, what's going to happen to Alderman Quinn? What's going to happen to Alderman Moore? I mean, there's some incumbents who are threatened in various places. Some exciting races up in my home ward of the 39th, the four-way race. It could be real interesting.
All right.
Deb Mell has gone kind of a serious challenge up there in 33rd. So.
Yeah. Tom Tunney versus the Cubs.
Yeah, that's going
to
be
Joe Moore. All right, we got so many. All right, let's get to our panel brought in here for the 7 o'clock hour. Let's start with Kitty Kurtz, veteran campaign advisor, Democrat consultant. Kitty, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Great to see you, Justin. What this are you is looking my first time yeah. in New Digs.
You like it?
Looks pretty nice.
Looking forward to tonight? What's the
you know, low turnout is such a crazy thing, and I have had my butt kicked by the machine in low turnout races, but it's a different day. Like, where was the machine in 14 amongst 14 candidates, and who is the machine? And you know, I live across the river over here. There was nobody out telling me or asking me to vote for anybody, which I actually would have appreciated this time. Like, I was really undecided. I would have liked a precinct captain to come up and shake me down, but yeah, nothing. I got nothing.
All right, well, let's bring in Carrie Lester. Carrie Lester, a longtime reporter. She worked for the Associated Press and Daily Herald. She's also the editor of Center for Illinois Politics. Carrie, what are you paying attention to tonight? What's the one thing you think we should be paying attention to?
There's a lot, Justin, but I'm fascinated with the dark horses. You have Lori Lightfoot making a sudden surge at the end, and you also have Jerry Joyce, who could be a spoiler for Daly. So we'll see what happens.
All right, and of course, Gerard McClendon, a professor at Chicago State University, former host of CLTV. He is in studio with us. Gerard, what are you paying attention to tonight?
It's great to be here. You know what? I've been thinking all day of like the classics, you know, and you really don't get back to them until even in your college days. But I've been thinking about hubris. King Lear, Icarus, Too Close to the Fire.
Storylines,
right.
Fair
is foul and foul is fair. Macbeth. Too many candidates. That's the bottom line. 14 candidates. Think about this. You can get 7.15% of the vote and get in the finals. That's unbelievable. I think Willie Wilson is a dark horse, not in the sense of getting in the finals, but Willie Wilson will be a spoiler. Anytime you give out money at church, you're going to get some votes.
You're going to get some votes.
And I think with Toni Preckwinkle, I mean, she's the chair of the city Dems. And then Daly, $9 million war chest. It's going to be very interesting as the night goes on.
And we're going to find out if that money means anything in an election with 14 candidates.
Yeah.
Right?
And is this going to be the exception that proves the rule? You know, usually the person that spends the most money on direct voter contact wins.
Right.
But I think both Carrie was right in that Lightfoot is definitely surging, at least in my world of social media and people that I talk to in real life. And I think that Gerard is also right. I've also heard a lot of people going from Preckwinkle. I've heard people going from Preckwinkle to Lightfoot, and I've heard people going from Preckwinkle to Willie Wilson.
Right. We'll watch all those storylines.
Will it matter?
We'll find out. 312-981-7200. We got a lot to get to tonight, including the results. Let's start by going to Andrea Darlis, who's standing by. You know, the polls have closed. It's only been a couple of minutes, so I'm sure the stuff's going to start to trickle in.
Yeah.
But we'll be doing this on the 15s throughout the night. So, Andrea, go ahead.
We are. And I had no results yet. I was called you Sean, Justin. I'm watching Channel 9, Sean Lewis. And all the team of WGN-TV reporters are out and about as well. Chicago's still flirting with that record low turnout. Jim Allen set to address the media this hour at some point, so we'll have some numbers for you as far as voter turnout goes. 14 candidates vying for the top job, a historically large field. If no candidate gets 50% of the vote, we're going to be doing all of this again. The top two vote-getters facing off again on April 2nd. More after this on WGN.
Election Day in Chicago and Illinois. You're listening to special coverage and conversation with your host, Justin Kaufman, on 720 WGN.
312-981-7200 is election night in Chicago. The results have not started trickling in just yet, but some news. Tom Negevin talking about a surge at the polls from 4 to 6 p.m. That's what he tweeted out. That it was at 34%. They're expecting 36% total, so not a record low for Chicago.
Yay for us.
Yes.
Well, you know, it was interesting because anecdotally I talked to an election judge downstairs in this building, and they said the line started forming in the 4 o'clock hour because and people told the judges this. They came in because they saw in the media that nobody was voting. And so there is something to be said about preaching this historic low, and it seems to have grabbed the attention of Chicagoans in the last 2 hours.
Well, the other thing is that it really was easy to vote. You know, it took 20 seconds.
20 seconds.
If you knew who you were going to vote for, it was just boom, boom, boom. It wasn't one of those ones you go in like, okay, the water reclamation district. Which one
is
that?
The judges.
Yeah, where's my palm card? This was easy.
This was easy.
I didn't even see, there was one guy outside of our polling place handing out cards.
As Kitty said, I think that's interesting that there have been reports, though. I had some reports in the 40th Ward and some other places that are a little bit more standard Chicago fare, where you have big guys who are hanging out in front of the, not doing anything, just kind of hanging out, making it more difficult to vote.
Yeah. Just be in there. Right. But no, I mean, to be fair, too, I live downtown. Brendan Riley had no opposition.
Right.
But in the 30 years that I've lived between, in the same precinct, but two different buildings, I've literally never been electioneered ever. Like, not even close. Like, no one has ever come near me.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. All right, Gerard. So, the aldermanic races, we're going to talk about the mayor's race, and of course, there will be a lot about who came out to vote, what neighborhoods came out to vote. But there are some aldermanic races that we should be paying attention to. We mentioned earlier Ed Burke in the 14th, even Marty Quinn in the 13th, but there are a lot of wards that we may see some upheaval, if you will.
You know what I'm interested in is that darn, I think it's the 20th ward.
Yeah, Willie Cochran's old ward.
Willie Cochran.
Yeah.
I mean,
Cliff Kelly's old ward.
Yeah, you talk about hubris again, you overweening pride. I mean, Cliff Kelly, of course, he cleaned his life up, but, you know, WVON host, but he had a run, you know, with...
He was actually convicted of corruption.
No.
Absolutely.
He pled guilty.
There we go. Right. And Willie Cochran now, you know, who has a smirk on his face like a Cheshire cat.
And Arenda Troutman, don't forget that. And I've worked in the 20th Ward since 1987, many elections, and I tried to get Rhymefest elected in the 20th Ward,
Chase Smith,
as you'll remember, Justin Chase Smith.
Yeah.
And this time, I think there were 9 candidates.
There are a lot of candidates,
more.
Yeah.
Tunnel.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Well, Willie's not running again.
No, so it's an open
trial
seat.
In June. The Tribune and Sun-Times both endorsed Maya Hadari.
Mm.
It's kind of a new name down there. She has not been involved in politics down there. I think she's been involved in the community. But that's, I mean, hey, let's get some new ideas in the city council.
Well, with these places with 9 candidates. So I live in the 39th Ward. There are 4 candidates there.
That's the end of the Loreno dynasty.
The Loreno dynasty is over. I'm anticipating a runoff. I just because...
Too many candidates.
There's some plausible candidates there. I think
in the 39th,
up.
You know, Robert Murphy, the committeeman, ran before, and he's got a pretty good organization, and he is the committeeman.
Nugent seems to have the. She's got. I mean, we're talking about like micro politics.
I love it.
Sam Nugent has Quigley behind her, and I believe has the Loreno people behind her too. So that could be real interesting.
You guys are tapping into a larger theme. I think could it be the death of these family dynasties? Loreno, that's mm-hmm. going out the window. But what about Mel in 33? Burke. Could
Who
be
knows?
A sure bet for re-election, given the shoe leather, you know, work he's done door to door. But who knows?
Yeah,
so
not
we'll
to
watch.
Mention Marty Quinn in the 13th, who not only his own family, which has been a big part of Chicago in the 13th, but Mike Madigan and a lot of the supporters at that time. Also, there's other big races.
Quinn is running against that DePaul student, Dave Krupa, right?
Yeah, right.
Krupa, who's the guy who was photographed holding a Hillary for prison sign and stuff.
He's a Trump supporter
and
in
he's got some,
13th
some,
Ward, right?
Questionable things in his past as well.
It's not the best candidate if you're going to try and unseat somebody who's vulnerable. There's no doubt about it. He's a 19-year-old kid.
It's hard to believe they took him so seriously to play election tricks on him. You know, they were
he's
holding with the petitions and getting people. I mean, he's a 19-year-old college student. You steamroll him with your organization.
I wonder, you know, I think about others as well. I think of Joe Moore up in the 49th Ward. I'm watching that one. I you know, he's been the incumbent there for years, and he has been sort of a political chameleon. Michigan in the way that early on in his career, he was a grassroots progressive candidate against Mayor Daley. He was a lot of 49-1 votes.
He was Mr. Grassroots Progressive.
And during Rahm Emanuel, he said even publicly that it's better for me to get along with the mayor than to not. And he changed his tune. And Rogers Park has always been a rebellious ward.
And, you know, people forget that Joe was the first guy to introduce participatory budgeting, not here, but nationwide. And it's become a nationwide phenomenon for good government to do participatory budgeting. Joe has been a progressive forever, and I've got young friends that live up in the ward that are like, oh, Joe Moore, that old hack. And I was like, wait, I've been with Joe Moore since he was the young progressive.
The times have turned.
Before he was an old hack.
Yeah.
When he was a young progressive. And hey, there's a couple of, there's some actual election results in.
Okay.
Ooh. And well, we've got just quickly looking at it, Daley is in the lead and Lori Lightfoot is in two.
Wow.
There you go.
So let's call it and go home.
Let's get out of here.
Preckwinkle is slightly behind Lightfoot.
These are coming from the Chicago Board of Election, right?
Yeah, coming from
Jerry
the
Joyce?
Board of Election.
Is that dark 12%?
Jerry Joyce is getting a lot of votes.
Great commercials.
But these could be
Jerry Joyce.
All the votes from the 19th
right.
Ward.
Right.
We
right.
don't know.
Right.
It doesn't say where they're from at all.
No,
and not yet.
I haven't
102 out of 2,000 precincts, roughly.
Wow. So it's early in the process, and we'll see how it kind of plays out. And we'll take a break here because I want to get to the results that Andrea has so she can give us an update on not just those, but whatever else might be coming out of the different precincts in the different wards. In studio, Gerard McClendon, Kerry Lester, Kitty Kurth, and Eric Zorn. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. Andrea will have the results as we do special coverage of the Chicago election 2019 here on 720 WGN.
Our city, our state, our choices. This is special election night coverage and conversation on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Here's Justin Kaufman.
Results are coming in. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join the conversation. Eric Zorn is here as well as Gerard McClendon, Kitty Kurth, and Kerry Lester. We are looking at some of the results. 34% of the precincts reporting, and Lori Lightfoot out to a early lead with 16.1 of the vote, 29,000 votes for her. She is edging out William Daley and Tony Preckwinkle. Yeah, well,
you almost said Mayor Daley. I heard you.
Busted Daley.
Busted Daley.
So robbery. I used to know many little kids who thought that the title of mayor was Mayor Daley.
Well,
Mayor
Daley. I was not a fan of, I, now that the election results are, I was not a fan of the branding for Bill Daley on his yard signs that just said Daley. Everyone else said, I'm Tony Preckwinkle, I'm Willie Wilson, but they got rid of the Bill in the marketing for Daley.
Well, the emails changed a few weeks ago. Went from Bill Daley for mayor to Daley for mayor.
They must have figured that the Daley name was actually a selling point.
Oh, yeah.
Most people I talked to in my little bubble, my circle, thought that the Daley name was poison for him. That the city did not want another Mayor Daley.
Sometimes negative familiarity, though, becomes a positive.
Right.
You know, and so since everyone knows that name. It's the branding is unbelievable. I mean, two dynasties, here's the third.
And with 35% of the vote in, Daley right now is in second place. I mean, he is behind Lori Lightfoot. There's still a long way to go. They got Preckwinkle third, and surprisingly, maybe and not surprisingly, in fourth place, Willie Wilson with 10% of vote. Now, we don't know where this is coming from, but you said it right at the top of the broadcast, Gerard, watch out for Willie Wilson.
When Willie Wilson ran for president of the United States, he got like 22,000 votes. When he ran for mayor last time, he got gobs of votes. I mean, he is going to be a force here. He is going to be a turning point for the top two.
He's a really, really nice guy, too, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, if you have ever talked to him, he's a really smart, nice guy who I think has gotten a short shrift by the media because he's not always the glibbest guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sit down and have a conversation with him, he's very smart. He's been very successful in business. And I think the Chicago media kind of made fun of him in a bad way that he didn't recover from.
Let me speak in defense of the Chicago media. Some of the things he proposed were just daffy. I mean, he wants to reopen Migs Field. I mean, that's crazy. He wants to split the city into four different police divisions with four different superintendents.
Right. And I mean, he's got these nutty ideas. I don't know that part is crazy.
And his whole plan, he seems to think that with marijuana money and gambling money, we're not going to have to raise any taxes. I mean, it's like he's unrealistic. He's a nice guy.
You run the numbers on marijuana money and gambling money
we're not going to make our pension payments
Colorado.
For that, Kitty,
he didn't showcase well at the debates, but then again, can you put a word in edgewise? But his campaign party is next door to this studio, and so I arrived here a little bit early, and so I nosed around a little bit, you know, reporter instincts and everything. And it was a diverse group, and I found myself sitting next to somebody who did legal work for him, who was watching the television and turned to me. I didn't describe what I did or anything, and he asked me, "Hey, are pantyhose still in?" And I thought, that is an odd question. I'll probably remember that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you're gonna remember that. That's not a good intro line.
And I'm wearing pants, for the listeners out there, okay. So I don't know.
Some of the interesting to see that early on, again, only 35% reporting, you have, like you said, Willie Wilson. But behind Willie Wilson, Susana Mendoza. So Mendoza, I set up at the top. She doesn't lose elections. She's very good at she's a second overall vote getter in the state of Illinois. This campaign's been a weird one because she kind of started late because she won her election for comptroller.
She's really good at retail politics. And I like Susana. I like her a lot personally. I think she's a great comptroller, but this race was not her best run race.
Okay, new numbers coming in, guys.
Yeah,
you ready for this?
55%, right?
55% of the precincts now reporting, and as we look at this right now, Lori Lightfoot has just under 17% of the vote. She's out in the lead. Second place is Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County Board President. Third place has fallen a good 2,000 votes behind is Bill Daley. So very interesting to see these numbers coming in, but Lori Lightfoot right now with 51,000 votes. Next would be 46,000 for Tony Preckwinkle. 55%, still time, but these numbers are coming in fast.
But did
Preckwinkle get the CTU endorsement?
Yes,
she did.
She got a lot of the labor endorsements.
That's going to be interesting the later we get
she
into the night.
She also got SEIU. We'll see. But what's interesting to me, Justin, is the money. Look at how much Bill Daley spent compared to any of the other candidates. And I assume that he will likely come in one or two. But who else comes in? How much did they spend? Does money matter as much in mayoral elections as it used to?
And how much do newspaper endorsements matter anymore? You know, Lightfoot was endorsed by the Sun-Times. They reminded voters the other day that she was their choice. And does that have anything to do with the last minute search?
I think it was, again, in the paper this morning. Mm-hmm. It was, like, on the top of the website.
Well,
and you guys
are the Tribune
Daley,
hammered for Daley three times, I think, with the main endorsement and then several backup endorsements. It's a good question. I sort of wondered whether Daley had reached his ceiling. You know, they kept polling, and he was spending so much money. He was in your face all the time, and you couldn't watch TV without seeing his ads. And yet, he was just sort of stuck at around where he is now, 15%, something like that. He wasn't breaking through. And you think, well, if people are going to vote for Daley, they'll have decided by now. And they hadn't. There were many undecided people. I can't believe those people go like, oh, well, I'm going to vote for that guy whose commercials I've been seeing.
I'm getting these numbers raw off the Board of Elections site. You can find it there. But you don't know where they're coming from. But to see President Preckwinkle move ahead of Bill Daley, that has to be alarming for the Daley campaign. Because it's going to be hard, as you said, with the SEIU, with Labor, with the CTU. I can't see... I mean, it could happen, and I'll eat crow later, but it's hard not to see the president being in the top two at runoff time.
If our runoff was two smart African-American women...
That's what I predicted.
Wow. Yeah. That would be interesting. And here's the thing with Preckwinkle,
totally
too. Preckwinkle is responsible for a lot of jobs. You talk about people connected to Tony Preckwinkle in obvious ways and not so obvious, and she's savvy, and people I think trust her in some sort of odd way, not in terms of I trust you as a politician, but I trust you to do what you say. You know, I noticed something interesting. The sweet drinks tax didn't come up that much in the news.
Surprising.
Yeah.
Well, I have to ask, too. She is one of the only candidates in here with actual executive experience. And she is a governmental executive experience. And how much do you think that plays, though, running the county to voters who are worried about experience?
I think that voters, well, I mean, with Lori Lightfoot leading now, I'm just looking at this at the latest thing. She's up by a 1.5%. Opened up about a 5,000 vote lead over Tony Preckwinkle.
56%.
You want to run for people who are interested in that, run down this whole list?
I'll do it fast. Lori Lightfoot is leading right now with just under 17% of the vote now. 55% of the precincts are reporting. Second place, you've got Tony Preckwinkle, who's coming in with 14.6. 15.5. Daly is third with 14.6. Fourth place right now is Willie Wilson with just over 10. Fifth place looks to be Susana Mendoza with a little over 9% of the vote. Then you've got Jerry Joyce with 8% of the vote, which is interesting. Then you have just under him Amara Enya at 7.75, and then so on and so forth. Gary Chico at 6.5.
Gary Chico is, that's a very disappointing result for him.
Paul Vallis at 5.6, and then down the line.
And then Gary McCarthy down at 2.8%.
Yeah, under 10,000 votes.
And then under 1%, Fioretti, Ford, Koslar, and Neil Sales Griffin.
Okay, I have a question for you guys, and then I want to get to Andrea, and she can get us updated on other things outside of just the mayor's race. Okay, there was a lot of jockeying at the beginning of this campaign about who was the progressive candidate. Every one of the candidates said they were. I mean, every Democrat that lined up tried to run that way. Obviously, looking at the numbers Lori Lightfoot is pulling, she won that race to be the progressive candidate. They weren't wrong in trying to say they were the progressive candidate, because it seems like there is a voting block for that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. But then if you look at progressive money, SEIU, other places, probably has it, but you're right. I think, Justin, that Lightfoot has shown is the progressive candidate.
You know what's interesting about what you just said, and Lightfoot as well, and we had this discussion before. The one thing that always upsets me is the splitting of the black vote. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that from an ethnicist or a racist point of view, but sometimes the black community, you know, is its own worst enemy. And I was like, why are there six black candidates? But here's the thing. If you have a platform that punches through and pierces through, and you can get a portion of the black vote, but you can get other northern suburbs.
As Lori Lightfoot or northern neighborhoods, right?
We're seeing that with Preckwinkle and Lightfoot here.
Right.
It's pretty obvious. Now, the other candidates, I mean, you know, Neil and LaShawn and even Amara, I mean, it's like, really? You know, but once again, Willie Wilson, he's going to spoil it for someone.
Somebody, yeah. Okay, let's do this. Let's get an update on some of the results with Andrea Darlis, who's standing by in the WGN newsroom. Andrea?
And Justin, we have, since you guys just went through the mayor's race, we'll go through some of the aldermen, the numbers coming in now. 16 of the 41 precincts reporting in most of these cases. For the third ward, Pat Dowell over Alexandria Willis. In the fourth ward, Sophia King over Ebony Lucas. In the fifth ward, Leslie Hairston appears to be running away with this one with 20 of the 41 precincts coming in. The sixth ward, Alderman Roderick Sawyer seems to be holding on to that lead there as well. The lead in the seventh ward, Gregory Mitchell. In the eighth, Michelle Harris. In the ninth ward, Anthony Beal, the incumbent there. In the 10th ward, Susan Garza, with about 5,000 votes. Again, 26 of the 36 precincts reporting there. The 11th ward, Patrick Daly Thompson. In the 12th ward, George Cardenas. The 13th ward, Marty Quinn now with 85% of that vote over David Krupa. 14th ward, Ed Burke. This is a very hotly watched ward with Ed Burke with about 53% of the vote to 30% to his nearest competition is Tanya Patino. In the 15th ward, Ray Lopez. 16th ward, Stephanie Coleman is holding on. In the 17th ward, David Moore. 18, Derek Curtis holding on there as well. Again, 42 of the 57 precincts reporting. In the 19th ward, Matt O'Shea is holding on in the south side there. The 20th ward, where we have quite a few candidates here. The lead right now is Jeanette Taylor with about 31% of the vote in that very crowded field. The 24th ward, very close here between Howard Brookins, Patricia Foster, Marvin McNeil, and Joe Ziegler. Howard Brookins holding on there as well. So we stopped about halfway through.
Love it.
Yeah, and we'll keep those numbers coming as they keep pouring in.
I love it. And you know, thank you, Andrea. The one race right there we're all paying attention to, the 14th ward, of course, the re-election of Alderman Ed Burke, who is under indictment. And I have to say, very interesting. He right now has 55% of the vote. There's still a long way to go, but the real threat there, reading up on that word, is if he goes under 50% and they have to do another month's worth of campaigning, there will be a lot more interest in Ed Burke in the 14th Ward than there is if he doesn't, if he gets over 50%.
Yeah, it's a machine issue for this quote-unquote primary, but when we get to the, if it goes to a runoff, it's going to be rough.
Right.
You know? I don't see it going to a runoff. It looks like he's at 53% right now with about half the precincts in, and I mean, who knows? Where those, I mean, yeah. Who knows where the precincts are, but you know, that's a decent lead, 53%.
It seems to me, you guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a push. There felt like there was a push from Chuy Garcia and the organization he's put together to essentially early on in this, even before the indictments, to talk about, hey, this is the last. These are the last days for the Burks.
The last movie.
And yeah, and I just wonder, even with an indictment, for him to be able to beat Chuy Garcia's candidate to fend off, even under indictment, what does that say about
a predominantly Hispanic ward? Yeah.
Here's the thing. Let's think about this again. We've been talking about 30% turnout, like it's some great thing. That's 30% of registered voters, which is about 50%. You know, registered voters are about 50% of the population. 30% of 50%. Where the heck are all the other people?
Yeah.
Like, aldermen matters in your life more than any other elected office when you live in Chicago. The alderman is significant to your quality of life. What's wrong with these people?
Well, yeah. People just don't know and they don't care. I got my hair cut today and I said to the hairdresser, did you vote today? She said, for what? And so, I mean, this is how your average person functions.
Yeah. But I've worked a lot in the African-American community over the years, particularly in the 20th Ward, Englewood, Back of the Yards, places where they really need city services badly. They need potholes. They need schools. They need stuff fixed. And the turnout there when Rhymefest, Chase Smith ran, was so low. It was just heartbreaking for people who are the most affected by government to be paying the least
attention.
You
know, it's also fascinating. Did you guys read that New York Times story today on black flight from the city of Chicago? Mm-hmm. And so the predominantly black wards are seeing their population decrease.
Yes.
And so how that affects turnout, I think, is going to be fascinating this cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of blacks are moving to the suburbs, and a lot of black people are moving. This is interesting. There was a great migration of blacks moving up north for industry. Now a lot of blacks are moving back down south. And so Chicago is missing a lot of those numbers.
And how does that affect, and not necessarily black candidates, but I think about the Chicago machine. You read Boston books that the black community was huge for daily income.
The 8th Ward, the 34th Ward, those used to be huge turnout wards. Even the 20th was pretty big back in the 60s and the 70s. But the 4th Ward, the 5th Ward, as though the 4th and the 5th aren't so much losing people, but like the 20th Ward, you go out there, and how do you have a block club when there's only two houses on the block and everything else has been raised? How does that affect community, and why would anyone want to stay?
The ticker right now is stuck at 56%, which right now, so the numbers haven't changed. Lori Lightfoot still in the lead. Behind her is Tony Preckwinkle and Bill Daley. One of the things we haven't talked about is as we kind of queue up the north side of Chicago. The if you looked at a map for Mayor Rahm Emanuel in 2011, 2015, he had a plan. And the plan was downtown and up the gut, right up to the Lakeview and to Wrigleyville and that area. That was where his base was, and that who was voted for Rahm Emanuel. Looking at the numbers, who gets that? It's not anymore. There's not one candidate stepped up to be that. Does Lori Lightfoot take that on? Are there other candidates that are trying to grab that north side vote?
I think that the north side progressive vote is going strongly for Lori Lightfoot. That's, you know, I don't know if there's going to be any decent exit polling here, where we're going to be able to glean from ward by ward results, but that's where I think her strong game is going to be. I don't know if Daley's going to do all that well in the lakefront wards. Again, we'll see when those results come in. Well, I just wanted to point out that the treasurer's race is interesting. It looks like it may be headed for a runoff. We've got about 56% of the vote in, and Amaya Pawar is trailing by 3%.
Okay, well, we just got an update on the Board of Elections. 66% of the precincts voting in the race for mayor, and Lori Lightfoot has extended a lead. She has 17.3% of the vote. That's 62,000 votes. Second place, holding very tight within 2,000 votes. It looks as if Tony Preckwinkle continues with 15.6% of the vote to Bill Daley's 14.8%, rounding out fourth place Willie Wilson 10%, Susana Mendoza 9%, and then it looks as if Amara Enya has jumped ahead of Jerry Joyce for sixth or seventh or whatever the number is there. But again, it looks as Lori Lightfoot is continuing to surge. We're wondering where these what hasn't come in yet, but as the numbers continue to increase, Lori Lightfoot increases her lead.
Well, and Justin, I think this is another example of a race where nobody loves any of the candidates, right? It's the least bad option. And so I think the late-breaking move towards Lightfoot is reflective of that.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's so much like the least bad, but I was like, there were a couple of options that I was okay with, but there was nobody that was like, oh my God, those are the best ideas that I've heard for the city of Chicago, and what a great idea mm-hmm. for innovative development between the arts community and the business community. You know, I didn't hear anything except maybe Amara Enya and the city, the public banks.
She talked about environmental justice and things that no one else was taking on.
Yeah, but I'm still waiting for vision.
Now, go ahead.
No, I just want to real quick, because we only have five more minutes with you guys. Gerard McClendon, Kitty Kurth, Carrie Lester, Eric Zorn. Eric?
Oh, I was just wondering what you think, if we're going to just jump ahead here and speculate wildly, if it's Preckwinkle against
Lightfoot,
you've got two people who are on the pretty far progressive end of the spectrum, two women of color. Where is the progressive vote going to go? What is the turf that battle is going to be fought on?
Wow. That's all I can say is wow.
That's a great race.
And where does the business community go? And where does, it would just be, we would also have a lot of national media attention. It would be a fascinating thing to
me. And would Preckwinkle then become the machine candidate.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that amazing to think about?
She is chairman of the Cook County Party. I think she kind of already is.
And she has not shied away from that either. She said,
she can't do that anymore.
Exactly. Does she become the business candidate, and then does Lori talk about the soda tax?
And so here comes something that might be a little ironic. I mean, it would be interesting to see if that took place. Which one of the candidates would look at the playbook of Harold Washington? Because Harold said, just vote for me. I'm going to take care of the Irish. I'm going to take care of the Italians. I'm going to take care of the blacks. I mean, you talk about coalition.
But you know
Ken Preckwinkle.
Both of those candidates.
Yes,
but both of those candidates can stake a claim to that.
And none of them, no candidate in this race has the wattage that Harold Washington has.
Absolutely.
The
wattage.
When I was on my way out to vote, I was talking to my doorman, and we were both talking about who we were going to vote for. He told me who we voted for, and I was like, okay, I think I'm going that way. We both just looked at each other and said, I really just want to vote for Harold.
Wow. Well, let me, last thing here, because you do have a really close, I do not want to, I mean, we're under, I think it's just over 2,000 votes are separating Tony Preckwinkle and Bill Daley. Now, there are mail-in votes out, there are still precincts. We were talking about, we may not know about who actually is going to be in the runoff for a couple of weeks just based on some of those mail-ins, but this is the scenario people talked about, second place.
We're looking at percentages right now. We're not looking at numbers of votes, and if the top three are within 10,000 votes. Which they will be. We don't know anything tonight, honestly.
And you know what's interesting is Willie Wilson has half the votes of Lori Lightfoot. And this is three black candidates in the top four. You got to be kidding me.
That's kind of amazing, right?
It's a pretty amazing night, and it continues here. It's only 66% of the vote. And usually when you get to any election in my lifetime, you get to 66%. Usually you have an idea of who's in front and who's catching up. To look right here, obviously we're going to a runoff, but to look at second and third and possibly even fourth place is Willie Wilson is not that, he's 20,000 votes down, but again, 20,000 votes is nothing. But maybe in a low turnout election, it's everything.
It's not nothing.
It looks like right now it's a three-way race between the leader right now, Lori Lightfoot, and then and then Tony Preckwinkle and Bill Daley. I can't thank you guys enough. Carrie Lester, who is the editor at the Center for Illinois Politics. Kitty Kurth, who's a longtime Democrat strategist and campaign advisor. And Gerard McClendon, who's former host at CLTV and a professor at Chicago State. You guys are great, and thank you so much for sharing your insight tonight. And we look forward to hearing from you guys again.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Thank you.
All right,
Justin.
Coming up, a new panel for the 8 o'clock hour. Eric's going to stick around in the honorary Paul Green chair. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in on the conversation. We're going to hear from some of the candidates coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well. It's special coverage of Chicago 2019 here on 720 WGN.
Our city, our state, our choices. This is special election night coverage and conversation on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Here's Justin Kaufman.
Over 70% of the precincts are reporting in the race for mayor. Eric Zorn is here with me. He is the Chicago Tribune columnist, and he's in the honorary Paul Green chair. Joining us now to extend and continue the conversation, Marge Halperin. Marge, of course, is an analyst for WGN-TV. She's on tomorrow, the morning news. She's also a political consultant and a partner at Hawthorne Strategy Group. And Walter Jacobson, former anchor at CBS and Fox, is also a contributor to WGN Radio. Thank you for joining us for the 8 o'clock hour. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting us.
We should be hearing from some of the candidates who will be calling in this hour. So we have a lot to get to, including new numbers. 70% of the vote in. This is 14. Well, there's only 500 or 600 precincts that are actually out. And right now, Lori Lightfoot, federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot, has extended her lead. She has 17.4% of the vote. Second place, who is also extending her lead, is Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle with 15.8, and in third place, Bill Daley with 14.8. Very interesting to see that in the last 20 minutes, 5% more of the precincts are reporting, and it looks like the leaders are extending their lead, Eric.
Well, this looks like it's turned into a three-horse race, maybe just a two-horse race for second place. Lori Lightfoot continues to kind of extend her lead. Her lead over third-place candidate Bill Daley is basically 9,000 votes, which is a lot. When you're talking about, you know, vote totals that are going to be, you know, under 100,000 easily for this. So
all right, let me start with you, Marge. Are you surprised to see Lori Lightfoot out in lead?
I am not. I am not. I have seen her surge in the last couple weeks, sitting as far left as Eric, at least as far left as Eric, among my circles. We had a lot of undecideds leading into the last couple weeks. I mean, no one has set this race on fire, clearly. That's why we're talking about a runoff.
Right, right.
But Lori was a slow burn, and she started her momentum at the right time, and I could see people falling in of all types. I've had a lot of conversations around town.
Walter, are you surprised at Lori Lightfoot?
Yes, I'm very surprised. But what I want to know, and we're not getting that yet, maybe we will
where it's
before
from,
this hour is up, is where it's from.
Yeah.
You know, are the white wards voting slowly, more slowly than the black wards? Are the black wards coming?
Well, I have to say, just anecdotally, Walter, the early reports had Jerry Joyce jumped out to a 10%. I think it was in the top three. So that may indicate that more of the Southwest side wards already came in. But also, I would say that, it's very interesting because those white wards that you speak of, those even if you're talking about some of the North side wards, those which may have gone for Mayor Emanuel the last election, the election before, might be leaning more toward Lori Lightfoot, who has polled well on the north side of Chicago.
So then we got to figure out why. And I would suggest that one reason is those ads that she's had on TV. They are very convincing. She seems almost vulnerable. She seems like a little sweet person with a sharp tongue and a lot of resume.
Some good ideas.
She walks into that book-lined room and says what she's done and can do. I think that's got...
Okay, I'll throw out Eric, and I want to get your opinion on this. I think that a lot of Lori Lightfoot's success tonight may have to do with another big Chicago politician, and that's Alderman Ed Burke. The corruption scandal around him, being charged with corruption, he is connected to the big four candidates, and they fought with each other about how they didn't even know the guy.
And Burke has a husband, did you say?
I did not know that. Exactly, and Lori Lightfoot has been the only candidate stepped out and said, I am not a part of that, and I'll clean up this corruption. How much you think that resonates with Chicago voters who've seen this play out in the newspaper saying enough is enough?
I think there were a lot of people I talked to who really bought into this line, like, I don't want to vote for anybody who got into the race after Rahm Emanuel got out. If you remember, there was a set of candidates who got in to challenge Rahm Emanuel. And then it was only after he got out that, Susana Mendoza got in, that Gary Chico got in, Bill Daley got in, Bob Fioretti, LaShawn Ford. Am I missing anybody?
Probably three, four, five
no,
more.
No, I think that's right, it. Right. But there was a set of candidates and who didn't get in. Now, I didn't hold it against that. I'm a cynic about politics. I know there's the time that you get in and everyone's got to pick their spot, and that's what a lot of politics is. But on a gut level, people said, like, you were okay with Rahm Emanuel. And so if you're okay with Rahm Emanuel, we're not okay with you. I think that's kind of the message that some of these voters were sending.
Now, Marge, you had a progressive forum that you were a part of not too long ago that had Lori Lightfoot and Amara Enya in a conversation for over an hour. What did you learn about those candidates? What did you learn about Lori Lightfoot that makes you not surprised that she's out to such a big lead?
That was a turning point for myself and for a lot of us. This was an Indivisible Chicago event that we held on the South Side. We had, as part of this understanding that the progressives were a big part of the 20-25% undecided, we held this event between the two true progressives in the race. We can debate. Hopper, you asked that question earlier in the last hour, and I'd love to get into that in
Who's
a couple of minutes.
Who's the progressive? Yeah, right.
Because there's two of them, in my strong opinion.
Okay, well, the percent their percentages changed a little bit. I just wanted to update people that 72% of the precincts are now reporting, and it hasn't changed much. We're looking almost identical in the numbers in 2%. So, you know, as this creeps closer to 100%, we have not seen Lori Lightfoot is just under 70,000 votes. She takes the lead.
I agree with Eric. I think Lori Lightfoot got a big boost out of Ed Burke's troubles. And Ed Burke's troubles, I mean by that, Tony Preckwinkle's troubles and Mendoza's troubles. Preckwinkle had he held a fundraiser in his house for her and raised $116,000. And Mendoza was wedded in his house. Gary Chico, which what has happened to him, by the way, Gary Chico had a job given to him by Burke. They're all tied into Burke.
Okay, let me. I kind of just say one thing that I just noticed here. I looked at the 11th ward, which is Bridgeport, with Patrick Daley Thompson's ward. They've got 85% of the vote in, 84% of the vote in. So wherever these outstanding precincts are, they're not in Bridgeport. They're not in a Daley stronghold.
Right. Now,
for what that's worth,
Tony Preckwinkle has almost a 4,000 vote lead over Bill Daley. Interesting, Willie Wilson coming in with over 40,000 votes at fourth place. I want to throw out a couple numbers here. Susana Mendoza, not a great showing, 35,000 votes, 9% of the vote. She's at 30. Next is 32,000 or 31,000 for Amara Enya. So interesting that Susana Mendoza and Amara Enya are neck and neck, for the consolation prize at this point. And Jerry Joyce. Jerry Joyce has 30,000 votes, 7.7% of the vote. Obviously, he was a candidate that had a strong showing in his area. The neck of the woods in the southwest side, but who did he take away the votes? We're talking about that. Bill Daley, the Daley family had counted on the southwest side for years, and it looks like that 7% of the vote may keep Mayor or Bill Daley.
I
want to say it. I know it's hard.
You're going to have to break that habit, it looks like, Josh.
I think the builders are going to do it for me. Marge Halperin's here, Walter Jacobson, Eric Zorn as well. 312-981-7200 if you want to weigh in on tonight's election returns. There's 72% of the vote in the precincts reporting. We're going to take a break. I want to hear from Andrea, get some results, and then we come back. Let's look at some of those aldermanic races. And as Eric pointed out, maybe a runoff in the race for Chicago treasurer. It's special election coverage here on 720. Andrea, what do we got?
Well, let's pick up for some of the aldermanic wards where we stopped off last time as well. We have some new numbers in now. 39 of 54 precincts reporting in the 21st ward. That's where we stopped with Howard Brookin still in that lead. On the 22nd ward, Mike Rodriguez. At the 23rd ward, Savannah Tabaris is still in the lead with 75% of the vote there. They're 29 of 39 precincts reporting. Over in the 24th ward, Michael Scott Jr. seeming to be running away with this one as well. The 25th ward, Byron Sitko Lopez. In the 26th ward, Roberto Maldonado holding on there. In the 27th ward, Walter Burnett running away with that one, 70-30% right now, with just about 37 of those 50 precincts reporting. In the 28th ward, we have in the lead Jason Irvin. 29th ward is Chris Taliaferro. In the 30th ward, Ariel Raboris. The 31st ward, moving over there very close, race going on there with Millie Santiago with about 40% of the vote, and Felix Cardona Jr. very close behind. The 32nd ward, Scott Wagsback, is uncontested. In the 33rd ward, again, very close there right now, just separated by a few votes. Deb Mel with 41.6% of the vote, but Rosana Rodriguez Sanchez with 41.4%. So the 33rd ward shaping up to be a very close race as well. Kerry Austin has it seemingly in the 34th ward with about 40 of the 53 precincts reporting. In the 35th ward, Carlos Ramirez Rosa in the lead, moving over to 37 because Gilbert Villegas in the 36th is uncontested. Emma Mitt still holding on there in her ward with about 2,552 votes. 38th ward, Nix Posado is uncontested. In 39, we have Samantha Nugent is with 34% of the vote there. Over in 40, in the 40th ward, we have Patrick J. O'Connor well in the lead overhead of his opponents as well. 41st ward, Anthony Napolitano there with about 70% of the vote, that with 38 of the 47 precincts reporting. Brendan Riley is uncontested in the 42nd ward. And then we move on to the 43rd ward with Michelle Smith now with about 40% of the vote there. I'm just saying the leaders at this point, because many of these are just about 70 to 75% of the votes in. In 44, Tom Tunney holding on with about 6,000 votes. In 45, we have Jim Gardiner. In 46, moving over there, James Kappelman now with about 42% of the vote there, and we'll do 47 through 50 as well. Matt Martin now with about 40% of the vote in 47. In 48, Harry Osterman seems to be running away with that one, 65 to 35 at this point. And in the 50th ward, Deb Silverstein in the lead there with about 65% of the vote, 33 of the 40 precincts reporting there. So that rounds out the aldermanic races. We'll go back to the mayor's race at the bottom of the hour and update you on that as well. Yeah, so that's where we are right now.
All right. Thank you, Andre Darlis. Fascinating look at some of those races. Of course, we're talking about the aldermanic races. Let's start where she just left off. The 49th ward incumbent, Joe Moore. There is not a threat of a runoff. Challenger Maria Haddon, 64% of the vote. She has a 3,000 vote lead with 75% of the precincts
that
reporting.
That one's over.
Maria Haddon looks to have beat the incumbent, Joe Moore, in the 49th ward in Rogers Park. This was a ward, you guys, where Joe Moore has run as a progressive grassroots candidate for years, and under Rahm Emanuel, he kind of changed his tune. And Rogers Park is almost like an uprising where you've seen more and more people wanted a progressive candidate out of the 49th ward.
He let his credentials rusty.
Yeah.
47th ward. 47 is interesting. There were like 9 candidates in 47.
Let's go to the 47th ward.
And it looks like Matt Martin is way out in front, but he's not going to avoid a runoff. Probably Matt Martin is a civil rights lawyer for the Illinois Attorney General's office. Mm-hmm. He helped write the Chicago Police Department consent decree. He's at 40%. And then second place right now is Michael Negron, who's a guy who worked for Barack Obama's campaign, right, and was Emanuel's chief of policy. So those are two really interesting candidates.
Eileen Dordick is right behind Michael Negron, so they're right next to each other.
That's going
to
be a knockdown.
Let's keep going down. Walter mentioned a 44th ward, and that, of course, is Alderman Tom Tunney versus the Ricketts, if you will. Yeah. But he it looks to have held off that challenge 62% to 26% off the
base. The other Ricketts had an interest in another ward. Was it?
I'm not sure.
It's a neighboring ward.
Let me keep going, because the 40th ward, as we just heard Andre say, that Alderman O'Connor was ahead, but there are 5 candidates in that race. Patrick O'Connor, the floor leader for Mayor Rahm Emanuel, only has 34% of the vote. There is a very healthy split that is going to a runoff. Alderman O'Connor is going to get runoff in the 40th ward. That's very interesting because he, of course, has been a big supporter of Rahm Emanuel in that ward. There were a lot of challengers that stepped up this run around. The other one I want to bring up, the 30th ward, which is Alderman Reboiris, is leading by percentage points. I mean, I think it's under 100 votes right now, with 71% of the precincts reporting. Jessica Gutierrez, Luis Gutierrez's daughter, is running there right now. If the race was called, it would be going to a runoff. Very interesting, as you see some of these races that we were paying very close attention to are indeed heading to a runoff. And let's go to...
How about 25?
I've got a... Solis. Let's go to Solis. I also want to get us up to date on the on Jefferson Park in the 45th Ward. There's an upset brewing there. Right now, yeah, it looks the 25th Ward is wide open. They're definitely going to run off all the candidates, showing pretty strong 20% totals. Let's go to the 45th Ward. This is probably one of the bigger upsets as we look at it early. It's still early. There are only, but not really.
Yeah,
there's
85% in.
Jim Gardner, who is the opposition to the incumbent John Arena, who's a progressive candidate in the 45th Ward, is drubbing Arena. It is right now 53% to 33%. The question is, there's still seven precincts out. Can John Arena force a runoff? Because right now, Jim Gardner whipped his butt.
It's tough. But
at 53%, you're talking about, it's one area. This is Jefferson Park. This is parts of Portage Park, the northwest side of Chicago. They have a lot of issues, contentious issues, around affordable housing. A lot of first responders live in that area. John Arena, who has been a major political force and a progressive member
force,
of the Progressive Caucus.
Champion of the arts.
And he may be looking at losing his reelection bid. So a lot of great races right now shaping up at the aldermanic level.
I will say one thing, that when we did our interviews with Enya and Lightfoot, I asked them both, how are you going to build a coalition in the city council to get your vision accomplished? And they both said a version of, well, I'm hoping there's a lot of change there too.
And we might be seeing that.
Maybe
some of the areas though that we were wondering about, let's go to the 13th Ward. This is Marty Quinn versus the DePaul freshman 19-year-old David Krupa. Not even close. Marty Quinn blows him out of the water, 85% of the vote.
It makes you wonder, what were they thinking when they were doing all their shenanigans?
It seems
with
like
him? Just
shenanigans for shenanigans' sake.
Just for practice. Just do it for practice. Fun.
And then
because
we look, only interesting, and the number is low, 58% of the precincts reporting in the 14th Ward. The incumbent there, of course, is Alderman Ed Burke. He has 55% of the vote. Tanya Patino, who is the candidate that's backed by Chuy Garcia, has 28% of the vote there.
If there's anywhere where they will play those games and hold back precincts, that's the one.
That's the one, yes. And as we look, I want to throw out another one as well. This is a really interesting one. In the first ward of Chicago, this is Wicker Park, this is Bucktown. Proco Joe Moreno, who has been the incumbent there, he has run into a couple of strange little scandals that have popped up in the last couple weeks. He is getting beat. Daniel LaSpada came out of nowhere. He had a scandal. He had a scandal
amazing.
His own, but 60% of the vote, and he has a nice lead with 61% of the precincts reporting. So that is the hope for Proco Joe, is that in the last 15 precincts reporting that he can at least get it to a runoff. But that's a head-to-head.
He's not going to get a runoff.
He's not going to get it.
Yeah.
Justin, we're going to start getting some of these concession speeches coming in here. Justin, we're going to start getting a
challenger.
Hold on, Marge. One second.
We're going to start getting some of these concession speeches coming in. We're not going to take all of them, obviously, because there's 14 candidates
right,
in this
course,
race.
Of course,
Gary Chico just making a nice heartfelt speech conceding this race. And, of course, there's no winner yet, but he's so far behind right now. He's just with 6% of the vote. As Gary McCarthy is speaking right now as well, saying that he is conceding this race to whoever it's going to be. And he said also that his golf game is going to get a whole lot better this summer now.
There you go.
So some of these speeches are starting to come in now.
The former police superintendent giving his concession speech. There are almost 75% of the precincts reporting for mayor. It's gone up a little bit. Lori Lightfoot continuing with and again, pushing the lead over 70,700 votes, 17.5 of the vote. As you look to second place right now, and it's getting close, Tony Preckwinkle has a 4,500 vote lead, 1 percentage point over Bill Daley. Fourth place looks to be set, as Willie Wilson looks to be a fourth place finisher, 41,000 votes so far. In fifth place, we're seeing Susana Mendoza with 9%, and then Amara Enya and Jerry Joyce after that.
Susana Mendoza and Gary Chico had very disappointing nights. I mean, obviously, if you don't finish in the top two, you're disappointed, but this was much worse than I thought either of them were going to do. I thought we were going to see Susana Mendoza into the night. I thought she was going to beat Willie Wilson. I thought she might be up there vying for the top. Second place, maybe.
And Gary Chico, not a great showing, and he only had 6% of the vote, 6.3.
They split the Latino vote, which was expected.
And he wonders all with their both of their connections to Alderman Ed Burke and their names being dragged through the mud. Now, what doesn't make sense is that Cook County Board President Tony Prenkwinkle, who was actually named in some of the corruption stuff, she did not seem to take on any of the Burke baggage, as she is pulling 15.8% of the vote.
Although, keep in mind, this was her race to lose from the beginning. She had strong union support, so she had the field team that should have just been a walk away. Even in a crowded field, she shouldn't be struggling for first place.
Yeah.
And so she suffered. She
And it's still close. I have to say, with 25% of the precincts out, meaning we still have a little bit ways to go, all eyes on second place. I think we would say that Lori Lightfoot right now is almost a shoo-in to go to the runoff. The question will be, will she be facing Cook County Board President Tony Prenkwinkle or Bill Daley, both of which within 3,000 to 4,000 votes?
We thought Prenkwinkle and Daley would be in the runoffs.
Speak for yourself, Walter. Speak for yourself.
Well,
who's the we?
I thought it might be Lightfoot and Mendoza, so I can't. I don't mean bragging rights here, but what do you think? Where progressive is going to go with Vince Lightfoot against Prenkwinkle? Prenkwinkle has some very good progressive bona fides. I mean, not totally, but she's over the years?
So one of the events that I was at in the last couple of weeks that really helped me solidify for Lightfoot, a woman stood up, African-American woman, a career media woman who is retired, but I'll know who she is if I said, but I'm not going to. It was a private meeting, about 30, 35 women, and she stood up and she said, I will never forgive Tony Prenkwinkle for backing Berrios after he made us pay other people's taxes. And she may have said white people's taxes. She could have said white people's taxes because that's what happened. She said after it was announced and disclosed by the Tribune that he did that, after the voters kicked him out on his butt, Tony gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award. Can't get past that.
It'll be interesting because Tony Prenkwinkle, if she does indeed make the runoff, will have a lot to answer to when it comes to her record, and she'll be running against a progressive candidate has vowed to clean up politics. And Tony Prenkwinkle, on one hand, says she proudly wears the badge of boss.
And you have to expect Lightfoot to focus sharply on the question of ethics, because that's her strong suit in the first place.
It's very interesting.
And
Marge,
if she does that, Tony Prenkwinkle will have to answer questions that are going to be very hard for her to answer.
Her renounce her position, at least to say, if you elect me mayor, I won't be chairman of the Cook County Party, because the last person who did that controlled the city in a non-ethical manner.
I just want to do a little bit of math here. Bill Daley is 4,108 votes behind Prenkwinkle with 75% of the vote, and Lightfoot has a 6,700 vote lead over Prenkwinkle. So you've got Daley needs to make up 4,000 votes in the last 25%. And I think it's a heavy lift. It could be done.
We'll see where they're coming from.
But this top two looks like it may be solidifying.
Eric Zorn, Marge Halperin, Walter Jacobson in studio, 312-981-7200. Andrea is standing by with election results. We'll continue to give you those results, as well as pay attention to concession speeches and get some candidates on the line here to talk about their campaigns. That's all coming up here. Chicago 2019 on 720 WGN.
Our choices. This is special election night conversation and coverage on 720 WGN. Here's Justin Kaufman.
312-981-7200. It's election night in Chicago, and I feel good. I don't know about you, Walter Jacobson, Marge Halperin, and Eric Zorn, but this is an exciting night as 81% of the vote coming in a lot of the aldermanic races, the mayor's race just a tad behind that. Updating the top story, Lori Lightfoot is well up in the race for mayor, and right now everyone is looking at second place. As we see right now on the screen at WGN-TV, Andrea, Susana Mendoza is up on stage, and I can only assume that she is doing a concession speech.
That's what I thought, too. You know, we're monitoring what she's saying. We're going to dip in just real quick here and see what she has to say, Justin.
Future. I'm undaunted because the fight goes on. And this is a fight worth having. Because you and I believe in a Chicago that no matter the block you live in, the neighborhood that you call home, who you love, who you pray to, whether you were born here or you came here, that this city wants you. The city needs you, and you are a part of its future. To everyone who voted for me, and even those who didn't, know that I see you, I hear you, and I'll never, ever stop fighting for you.
So there you have Susana Mendoza now coming out and saying she's conceding.
She's out.
She started out by saying, Justin, yeah, she's disappointed. She's not giving up yet. It sounds to me like there's a point right now. She's about 9% with about 76% of the vote
in.
So she's a very distant fifth place
right now. And to make up what she'd have to make up to get even close
to the runoff,
place,
right?
You're talking about 30,000 votes with only 25%
of precincts. She had a problem, don't you think, from the beginning when it was clear that she was giving up a job that she should have followed through on, because it seemed that she was a touch greedy to get into another one before she...
Well, there was a lot of questions about, you know, did you knew you were going to run for mayor, and they'd leaked that right before her election for comptroller, where they had already leaked the commercial that she was going to run.
Yeah, that was an...
It was a very bad sort of rollout of that, and it made voters question her campaign.
We have not heard the last from Susana Mendoza. She is, of course, still the state controller, and I imagine that we will see her running for Secretary of State down the line, or something, or Congress. She is a young, and she's a better campaigner than I think that we saw in this entire campaign. She came on pretty strong at the end. I thought she was doing pretty well. I thought she did really well in the TGW forum debate last week. I think this is a setback for Susana Mendoza. I think we have probably seen the last of, like, Bob Fioretti. We've seen the last of Gary Chico, probably,
Bob Fioretti pulled...
Gary McCarthy.
Fioretti pulled less than 1%. And Gary McCarthy, for as long as he has been in the race, to pull less than 3%.
Do you think Willie Wilson still has any kind of impact in local politics, or is he done running for office?
I don't know. How much money does he have left to pass out?
Well, probably a lot.
44,000 votes, right?
He's in fourth place, and I
want to put it out there. There's 78% of the precincts reporting. You have to continue to think Willie Wilson has a shot, even though it is a long shot, be only 4% down in the actual two-third place.
You don't have to do the long math, but I'm just saying
he for 44,000 votes to be only 23,000 votes behind the third place person. It's a stretch.
It's not possible, but it is an impressive showing by him. I'll say that. I think that he beat
Susana Mendoza and Amara Enya as well, who is right now in
didn't he get about
6%
when he ran against Rahm last time?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the dollar per vote tally that comes in at the end.
See what it is, right? How much actually
spent?
Does he run for Congress? Does he run for
something
state
different? Yeah.
Office or something. I don't know. He certainly has some supporters.
I think the storylines here, obviously we're talking about the mayor's race, and that's important. And you look at the treasurer's race, and it looks like it's going to runoff. There are incumbent aldermen and not machine aldermen that are going down tonight. Alderman Joe Moore in the 49th ward got his butt kicked by Maria Haddon, who is a progressive candidate, a young African-American woman who Rogers Park embraced. And it's interesting to say that, because you would never think that they would not embrace Alderman Joe Moore, who has been their alderman for decades. And he was the thorn in Mayor Daley's side. It was him and Helen Schiller that would always be the 48-2 over and over and over. And during the Emanuel administration, Moore changed his tune and said, I'm going to get more done by working with the mayor than being against him. And Rogers Park said, no, we don't want none of that.
Well, there's this moment in time, nationally as well as locally, where the political mood is shifting, the standards are shifting. You talk about Mendoza running for one office and then running for another. That is historically commonplace.
Right.
But it's not going to fly right now. And there's a lot of things, these aldermen who may not be machined by an old standard. There is no machine by an old standard.
And I got to bring up another alderman who looks like he's going down, and this is not a Chicago machine alderman by any stretch. 45th ward alderman John Arena, who had won in very close elections on the last two go rounds. I think there was a runoff and they were talking like 300 votes. He's getting trounced by his opponent, Jim Gardner, who really is representing the non-progressive factions in Jefferson Park and Portage Park and the Northwest Side. But John Arena, who is a popular member of the Progressive Caucus, does yep. not look like he's going to be reelected in the 45th. Looking down the line, you see a lot of other big aldermen who may be forced to run off. I think of Alderman Reboiris in the 30th Ward, Alderman O'Connor in the 40th Ward. Another alderman that is getting beat and looks like he's not coming back is Proco Joe Moreno, the alderman of the 1st Ward, who has been in that seat for at least two terms.
But he was on the bubble.
And he was on, but he's getting his... He is losing an election to an unseasoned opponent who had a scandal of his own that I think the Sun-Times put his challenger's scandal on the front page of the paper.
Yeah.
So just interesting to see some of these household names in city council that will not be returning in 2019.
And then look at the ones who are. What are they doing right? They're straddling, as I was starting to say earlier, Pat Dowles,
right.
old school, and she's been around for 10 years. She had a progressive challenger who was a weak challenger, perhaps, but mixed reviews in the neighborhood, the business with closing NTA, mm-hmm. and she had a backtrack, but she stood up on the 78, and people applauded her and thanked her. She's come across as thoughtful and responsive to the community, despite support for the seated mayor, Sophia King,
Leslie
Hairston. You know, they're solid. They're done.
A lot of the South Side wards. Yeah. I want to go out west, northwest side. Deb Mell. The Mell dynasty. Deb Mell is winning by 10 votes. There's definitely going to be a runoff.
She's going to have a really interesting runoff with Rosana Rodriguez-Sanchez, who is the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of this election in Chicago. She's a young, very passionate Hispanic woman, and I moderated the 33rd Ward Aldermanic mm-hmm. Forum, and she has some very enthusiastic supporters. That's going to be a real knockdown, drag-out battle.
And here's a good one as well. In the 15th Ward, and there's Alderman Lopez, who had a number of challenges, 48.5% of the vote, trouncing his opponents in the 15th Ward, but not enough to get a runoff at this point,
to avoid a runoff. Yeah.
So very interesting there with Alderman
Lopez. Another way to look at all this is that the reason the ones who are staying could be that the turnout was low. The Board of Elections was estimating maybe 30%, which would be the lowest turnout probably, maybe, in history if it hits 30%.
Yeah, well, it's going to go
so
higher.
The people it'll go a little higher, right?
Yeah.
But the people who are not voting are telling us that they aren't very interested in the office holders of long tenure either. And when they don't vote, that throws the field open to all these young progressives.
Walter Jacobson, Marge Halperin, Eric Zorn, let's do this. Let's get an update on the results with Andrea, and then we'll come back and we'll continue the conversation. Andrea, what do we got on the results?
We do. We've been talking so much about mayor. Let's hit some of these aldermanic races. The projected winners now are coming in because the votes are just overwhelming. In the 3rd Ward, Pat Dowell being declared the winner with 68% of the vote. The 4th Ward, Sophia King. Moving to the 7th Ward, Greg Mitchell there. The 8th Ward, Michelle Harris. 9th Ward, Anthony Beal hangs on to that seat. In the 10th Ward, Susan Garza holding on there as well. The 11th Ward, Patrick Daly Thompson with 75% of the vote with 75% of the vote there being declared the winner. In the 13th Ward, Marty Quinn. Moving up to the 18th Ward, Derek Curtis. These are all the projected winners now because they're just running away with the vote. And Matt O'Shea in the 19th Ward. It's interesting. 85% of the vote to Dave Dewar's 15%, so Matt O'Shea hanging on in the 19th Ward there on the south side. 22nd Ward, Michael Rodriguez being declared the projected winner. In 23, Silvana Tabaris being declared the winner in that ward. In 27, Walter Burnett hangs on. 28, Jason Irvin. At 29, Chris Taliaferro. And moving up to the 35th Ward, Carlos Ramirez Rosa with 60% of the vote. 41, Anthony Napolitano winning that 70-30% over his challenger, Tim Hennigan, in the far northwest side. 48th Ward, Harry Osterman. 49, Maria Haddon. 50, Deb Silverstein. They're the winner. So there's some of the projected winners now in the aldermanic races. We'll have much, much more on your election coverage here. It's election night on 720 WGN.
Our city, our state, our choices. This is special election night coverage and conversation on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Here's Justin Kaufman.
Results coming in here. The precincts, almost, I mean, we're most of these precincts over 80%. The mayor's race has sort of gone to a crawl, Eric Zorn. It's very interesting. Early on, you're like, it was jumping. We thought this thing might be over in 15 minutes, but it got to the 75%, and now it's doing what Chicago elections do, and it's crawling.
I made some other plans, and here I still am. Well, with about 75% of the vote in, there was this vote total. Preckwinkle was about 6,700 votes behind Lightfoot, and Daley was another 4,100 votes behind. And then with another 4% came in, those gaps just
did not change at all.
Not budging with 4%.
You have to say that, you know, if we were in a tumultuous moment where there were 5% more precincts reporting and you saw the numbers fluctuate, but they're not fluctuating. They are staying the same. And that has to say that we're seeing both of the top two sort of hold the ground. And that would be former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle.
And you were saying how exciting this is.
Yeah, it's
just imagine what it's going to be like if they continue this way, that we have one of two very strong women. Being
women of color.
African-American women,
It's too bad Jane Byrne isn't around to help him do a little bit of dancing in the wind.
Kathy Byrne was around.
Now, here's a question. Here's a question for the panel. Where are some of these people? Willie Wilson has a lot of support. Susana Mendoza has some
support. Throw their weight around, right?
Are they going to get involved? And if so, who are they going to throw their support
to? Marge is a good question. If you're Willie Wilson and you've commanded for 10% of the vote and you want to recommend or endorse one of the two candidates, Lori Lightfoot or Tony Preckwinkle, who does Willie Wilson get behind?
That's a good question, and I was ready to jump because I thought you were going to say Mendoza Chico, and the question there is, who wants to be aligned with them as much as who do they want to be aligned with?
Well, I'll go out on a limb. Willie Wilson will support Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah, because, I wonder, and no, that's a good point.
Why do you say that, Walter?
Because they're in the same lane when they talk about corruption of the establishment.
Andrea is standing by. She's in the newsroom, and I see that Amara Enya has taken the stage. Amara Enya is down at the Lacuna Lofts in Pilsen. Mm-hmm. Amara Enya pulling only about just under 8% of the vote, and it looks like she's given a speech, a concession speech, Andrea. Interesting that she's doing it. But, you know, let's talk about Amara Enya. You had a chance to do the conversations with Amara and Lori. Amara Enya, a candidate that was backed by Chance the Rapper, when she came out and said she was running for mayor, everyone was like, all right, she ran last time through and she got bounced off the ballot. But when she got the bump from Chance, she became a formidable candidate, a dark horse, if you will. I mean, a lot of people were like, I don't know, that undecided could be young voters, but it turned out it wasn't.
Well, to the extent that young voters came out, they came out for her. I think that's going to show a split for her. I had a Uber driver on the way over to the station, a young guy who was really enthusiastic and committed to her and disappointed at the early returns already on our way over here. But he said she's the one out there talking to young people. And I think she had passion. We talked a lot among our undecided progressive selves about could we have the melding of Enya's passion and Lightfoot's experience, and we'd have a campaign that couldn't be stopped.
And, you know, Amara Enya, and it was interesting, one of the debates, I think it was a Crane Chicago Business debate that we aired here on WGN, they asked a question, if you weren't running, who are you going to vote for? And Amara Enya and Lori Lightfoot showed love for each other in the way that I wonder if it's a no-brainer to see Amara Enya be able to put her support behind Lori Lightfoot.
I would hope so, and I will tell you, I asked the question during our Indivisible Chicago interviews that you referenced, who would you most like to be against in a runoff? And Lightfoot didn't miss a beat, and she said, I could beat any of them. Wow. And Enya paused a long time, and she's not a pauser. And she paused, and she smiled this grin, and she said, Bill Daley, I'd like to once and for all put an end to the machine.
Wow,
she won't
that?
Get to, but I think somebody
now,
else is going
Eric, to let me ask you this. Chance the Rapper went out. He made a big deal about supporting Amara Enya. There was even questions about if he was going to run for mayor. Is this the beginning of a young celebrity's interest in Chicago politics? Or is it sort of, do you see it a failed attempt and a flash in the pan? He's going to make more records.
He dipped his toe in, right?
He
had an appearance with her, and then he pulled his toe back out because he was supposed to be at a rally, a get-out-the-vote rally.
I don't think he's at the rally. just tonight.
Just a
no-show. Yeah.
Is he at the rally tonight?
I know. I don't see him on the stage, so I'm surprised.
I think he just backed away from it. I don't know why. Maybe it bored him. I'm not sure.
It's true. I mean, the last week he has not been out. You did not see. He supports in social media. He's all over social media, Amar Enya, but he was on the West Coast. He was not in Chicago.
So speaking of Amar Enya and futures, I mean, I think we're going to hear again from Susana Mendoza. Are we going to hear again from Amar Enya?
I would love to see her appointed to either a cabinet position or a policy position. She needs to get some experience and depth to match her ideas and vision. And
I like Amar.
I think she's formidable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her. And Andrea's standing by. Interesting to see Amara is on stage.
She is, yeah.
Why don't we dip in and see what she's saying.
Yeah, let's pop into Amara right now speaking.
We always knew that when we got together to do this campaign that we were doing something that would defy the odds. We knew that we were not going to rely on the traditional tactics and the traditional people to get this done. We knew that we needed people who would think outside the box about what it looks like to change this city. We knew that we did not need to rely on the same old to do this and to have this moment. And the individuals that make up my team stepped up to the plate in a major way. I can't even begin to really thank every single member of my team. My comms director, my campaign manager, my creative.
So there's Amara Enya just thanking her team and whatnot, conceding this race. But I don't think that's the last we've seen.
Yeah, there you go. So Amara Enya has conceded. We're really, truly looking at who's left to concede. You're Willie Wilson. And then, of course, then you get to the Bill Daley's and the other two who right now are in the lead. All right, takeaways from the 8 o'clock hour. Marge Halperin, what's your takeaway from tonight as we look at the results, which are not finalized, but the results that are looking that way?
I think Lightfoot had the right trajectory. She started slow, but her momentum started building as the Burke Four, which she calls them, began to sink. And I think that's what's carrying the day.
Walter, what do you think?
One thing that's not mentioned enough in my mind is that it's time to take our hats off just for a minute to not only the candidates, but the media, for really focusing for the first time in any time that I can remember in politics in Chicago, focusing sharply on the issues. And it was interesting that they got into the really big issues, from marijuana being legalized to Jerry Chico's idea of running a bus through neighborhoods that needed to go to food deserts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the media played it straight away. The news stories were news stories. The editorials were editorials. So I'm kind of proud of everybody.
All right.
I don't say that very often.
Walter Jacobson, of course, the legendary anchor over at CBS and Fox, and he is a contributor here at WGN. Marge Halperin, who will be on tomorrow morning on WGN-TV Morning News, and is a partner at Hawthorne Strategy Group. Marge, thanks so much for coming. I know you got a late early morning, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, sleep.
Eric's going to stick around. Marilyn Katz, Ken Davis, Hermine Hartman coming up. We continue our coverage here on 720 WGN and special election coverage at Chicago 2019. Stay with us.
Our city, our state, our choices. This is special election night coverage and conversation on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Here's Justin Kaufman.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. And what a night tonight in Chicago as we are watching the results. 85% of precincts reporting in the race for mayor. It looks like indeed we are heading to a runoff. But surprising who may be in the runoff, as former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot has 79,000 votes and 17.4% of the vote to be the leader right now in second place, and extending her second place lead is Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County Board President, who has 15.9% of the vote. And the third place, still striking distance, but like I said, the gap is widening, is Bill Daley with 67,000 votes and 14.7% of the vote. Very interesting night, and not just in the mayor's race, of course, but with the some of the incumbent aldermen and some of the races that are heading to a runoff. We turned our panel over in the Paul Green chair. Staying with us till 11 o'clock is Chicago Tribune columnist Eric Zorn. But I want to introduce the panelists that are joining us for the 9 o'clock hour. Ken Davis is the host of Chicago Newsroom on CAN TV. Ken, thanks for being here.
Don't forget to vote for Mayor Daley.
That's right, Marilyn Katz from MK Communications, and also part of the press team for Harold Washington back in the day. Marilyn Katz, an honor to have you here in studio.
Glad to be here.
And Hermine Hartman, the publisher of Indigo Magazine, and also a contributor who's been a part of our election night coverage for the last couple elections. Hermine, great to see you. Thanks for being here. All right, so I want to get right to you guys. Are you surprised right now with 85% of the precincts reporting that we're looking at a possible Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle runoff?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No.
No, Marilyn, why not? You saw this coming?
Well, one, this is really a women's year, and Lori was surging the last weeks. And the question for Bill, who didn't have a natural constituency and had no natural issues, was there a machine? Could he put the mosaic together?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's interesting that it looks like we'll have two very accomplished African-American women running. That's quite a treat, as well as quite a contest.
You know, before I get to you guys, I wanted to, Andrea, it looks like Willie Wilson is up on the stage. Yeah. He's next door here at the Swiss Hotel. He looks good. He's in a tuxedo, and he is conceding the race for mayor. He is in fourth place. A strong showing for Willie Wilson, though, who has 10.5% of the vote. I can only assume he's conceding. Maybe we can dip in, Andrea, if possible.
Yeah, let's pop into a little bit of Willie Wilson right now, who, by the way, is probably the best-dressed candidate, I'd say, tonight in his tux.
And let me say this, dear Lord, we thank you, O Lord. And we thank you because you're God. And we thank you, O Lord, because you made all of us. And you didn't make us all so much different, dear Lord. And you made us as human beings. And you thought fit to allow us this little while on earth. And you saw fit, dear Lord, to bless us. And, dear Lord, you didn't make us separate, but it was mankind that made us all separate. And there is no difference between the Democratic or Republican, Libertarian, or the Muslim, the white, black, Latina. There is no difference.
That's Willie Wilson right now conceding, saying a little prayer, and he's at the Swiss Hotel with his campaign. We're not going to hear this isn't the end of Willie Wilson as well. He's still a force to be reckoned with in the city of Chicago, but I have to say, Justin, best dressed candidate by far in a tuxedo, black tie. He looks stunning.
He's dapper.
Very dapper.
And he has his own mic flag.
He does. He's not messing around.
He has a Willie Wilson. Yeah.
Dr. Willie Wilson, 10.5% of the vote, 47,000 votes. Not a bad showing, Hermine,
not
for
bad.
Willie Wilson, who a lot of people wrote off and said, well, you know, he's not a great communicator, but he showed up, and he showed up in force.
And he worked hard. He had a good ground game. His signs, I think he did better with his signage than anybody. His signs were all over Chicago. Mm-hmm. I don't care where you went.
Right,
there
right.
were loads of signs. And I think that speaks well.
He did 11% last time, didn't he, my friend?
Justin, I'm going to pop in with you real quick. Lori Lightfoot,
Lori Lightfoot
is actually taking to the podium now at her headquarters.
And before I say anything else, I need to thank my family. Of course, Amy and Vivian, I want to thank you both for your encouragement, your sacrifice, for the advice after a tough day, your love, even as our lives turned upside down over this last year.
Yes!
And from Viv, encouraging notes in my office to keep fighting.
Yes!
Nothing is more important to me than you, and I could not have had the strength to do this without your love and support.
That's right.
So thank you. Yes! I also want to thank my mother and my in-laws who are here in Mass, my friends and neighbors, my kitchen cabinet advisors, and everyone who supported and guided me through this journey and helped me stay grounded in my values and my identity from day one.
Yes!
And, of course, I want to thank our incredible staff. You put in so much time. They have put in so much time and energy and often under absurdly challenging circumstances. You've shown incredible dedication and resourcefulness, and I'll never, ever forget it. To our thousands of volunteers and donors, Thank you all for your tireless efforts. This campaign was powered by you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for knocking on that extra door, making that extra phone call. It matters, and I couldn't be more grateful. We've been saying in the last couple days, this is going to be a race that comes down to the inches, and you have been remarkable in the amount of effort, in the cold, the rain, through the sun and the summer, through the petition challenge. I am so incredibly grateful to you all. And of course, I want to thank those who had the courage, and let me understand that, courage to stand with our campaign against the machine. Thank you to my friend, Congresswoman Robin Kelly. Former county clerk and mayor, David Orr. Alderman Scott Wegesback. Former State Representative Letisa Wallace. Equality Illinois PAC. Victory Fund, LPAC. Indivisible Illinois 9. The Illinois Education Association Region 67. And so many other groups and individuals who were with us and knocked on doors and helped us get to this moment tonight. To anyone out there eager to join our team in our fight, welcome aboard. This, my friends, is what change looks like. We'll be in the neighborhoods tomorrow. We'll get you a clipboard, and we'll see you out on the street fighting until April 2nd when we take this over the finish line to victory. I want to thank all the other candidates who ran for mayor. 14 candidates was a lot, obviously. And voters had a lot of good options. But I want to thank the voters of this great city for fighting through the noise and coming to a place where we brought the light.
That's right.
We need to continue to have this very important dialogue about our city's future, about the narrative of who we are going to be, to break from the past and have a vision for the future that includes all of us in every neighborhood. All of you here tonight stood with us when so many others said this day would never come.
Yes, they did.
The field was too crowded. There was no path for a new reformer without a huge donors, being elected official for 10,000 years, and amidst a pack of establishment figures. People said that I had some good ideas, but that I couldn't win. And it's true that not every day that a little black girl in a low-income family from a segregated steel town makes the runoff to be the next mayor of the third largest city in the country. My parents again.
So there's Lori Lightfoot in an astounding what appears to be victory. I only say astounding because she really pulled ahead, Justin, I would say in the past maybe 4 days, 3 days at most. And there was some reports over the weekend. She was doing some interviews with media outlets and said, watch for a surge from my campaign this weekend. And sure enough, by yesterday with that new poll that came out, she was ahead.
Yeah,
and she has right now 17.4% of that vote, 79,272, and Toni Preckwinkle behind her in second with 72,786.
Interesting. Of course, the progressive candidate. Thanks, Andrea. Mm-hmm. As we heard her speech, she's setting up a fight against the Chicago machine. She knows one of the two challengers in the runoff is going to be someone who represents the Chicago machine.
Well,
Marilyn,
kind of.
What do you think? No?
Well, I think two things, and I've said this to both campaigns. I said, if they were the two, whoever is mayor has to work. If Lori wins, she has to work with Toni. And so a scorched earth policy would not be good for this city.
Mm, interesting.
And look, we are not talking about a massive voter turnout. We're talking about 28 to 30%. Whether it's Toni or Lori or Daley, we're talking about 17% of 30%. So none of us should get too excited about who we are and where we're going.
So are we making our move too soon? We got 30,000 votes out that have to be counted, right? Mm-hmm. What about that? I mean, 30,000 votes is a lot of votes.
It depends where they're coming
from. Well, Eric made a good point.
It depends, but it could change.
If I may speak for the institution that declared Thomas Dewey the president, I do think that if you look at the way these votes have been coming in, I've been following as the totals get updated, that this gap between Lori Lightfoot and Toni Preckwinkle is really not changing. It's at about 6,400 votes now, and the gap between Preckwinkle and Daley is growing. Daley is getting further and further behind, incrementally further behind as these votes come in. Now, is it possible that there's a bunch of wards that are really Daley friendly?
Or mail-in votes that are going to play out in the next couple weeks?
Is that possible? I just don't see it. It's possible. If I were the headline writer at the Tribune, I would hold off. But here on radio, I would say that this looks like it's
Daley. It means something.
When I walked in here about half an hour ago, the distance between Daley and Preckwinkle, it's 4,000 votes.
Yeah, it's growing.
It's now 5,400 votes.
But you're seeing Lori Lightfoot making a victory speech right now. She came out and she said, I'm in.
That's what it is.
So even with the mail-in votes and everything else, the math shows that Lori Lightfoot's going to be in the runoff. The question is, I will be fascinated to see how the Daley campaign reacts with knowing that there are the mail-ins that haven't been counted yet, that there's still some precincts out. If they will say, hey, it's way too close to call, or there's some people on calculators in the back that, just like Eric, they're going, there's no way to bridge this gap. But it does. I mean, there was a conversation before this election that this may drag out beyond election night, and it looks like it may be possible that it drags out for second place.
I can't see how it doesn't. I mean, if you're that close, and there are, well, there are 32,000 ballots that haven't been returned, or potentially haven't been returned.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a lot. Don't forget the other 30,000, right, which are not included in this, right? So, you know, if you're Bill Daley and you're looking at this, you're gonna say, well, I went through this with Al Gore. You know, I'm a veteran at this.
But Ken,
we're gonna keep this going for a while.
14 candidates splitting up that. Let's say it's 30,000, which I think is very generous, because all those
they're not 30% of 30,000.
You have to make up 5,000 votes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got 15% still to go. Harmeen is right. We're a little bit over our skis here.
Yes,
but
we are.
But it's, you know, this is what we do.
it's the 9 o'clock hour.
Just don't write the headline.
To make up 50,000, to make up 5,000 votes with this few left to go, it could be done, right?
But it's
very unlikely, because the pattern has remained the same.
But isn't that the point, though? It can be done, so therefore, you can't call it.
But who would have thought? Who would, you know? But we weren't projecting Lori Toni. We were projecting Bill Toni, Bill Lori.
Right.
And now we look like we're looking at Lori Toni.
I think we should be very excited about that if it's really true. I mean, Ken and I and Harmeen were all around, and we helped elect the first black mayor. And here we
remember
are,
that? Yeah.
Many years later. About, it appears, to elect the first black female mayor of Chicago. If things hold out for the rest of the evening, and if the trend continues.
Pretty
interesting.
You guys were saying earlier tonight, of the four top contenders, only one of them is white.
Yeah, I mean, right. That Willie Wilson is fourth place. That's right.
But now, does that mean
Susana Mendoza was fifth?
Who would have thought that, right?
No. Mara Enya.
Amara.
Where's the next white guy after Bill Daley?
It's Jerry Joyce, I believe. Yeah. It's 7.5%. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
But let's look across the city, because I think what you're going to see is in a lot of races, women surged.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
that's what happened.
Interesting. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'd like to see how many women, just like in Congress, just like in Texas,
Just like in Alabama.
Well, let's look at some of the wards, because it is interesting to think that way. Maria Haddon comes
in and trounces
Alderman Joe Moore. You say no surprise there.
It's no surprise, because his apparatus, the 49th Ward Progressive Democrats, switched to Maria about a year ago.
Okay, let's look at the 30th Ward. Alderman Reboiris is getting, it looks like, a runoff right now, but it is very close, within 100 votes of each other, if less than that. Jessica Gutierrez. Who, as I mean, there, it's not out of the realm. There's only two precincts that haven't reported. Precincts are probably 200 to 300 votes at this point, so you're not talking about a huge shift. So they're definitely going to go to a runoff. But there's a chance she actually wins, even though they're going to a runoff.
Not only a woman, but a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
31 years old.
But you're also seeing what I consider to be a real loss in the city council with Alderman Arena. Alderman Arena had.
Isn't that interesting?
I mean, well, you know, I live in the ward adjacent to his, and I was saying on the air the other day that I drive through that ward every single day, and I think I've seen about 9 Arena signs, and I've seen 90,000 signs
moderated
for all the others.
I moderated the 45th ward debate, and I will say this. There was a lot of a hand-wringing and worry that the crowd is going to boo Arena off the stage. And I chalk that up to, well, his opposition's coming out and he's an incumbent. But there was a lot of let me finish, moments in that debate. And Jim Gardner, who really is the Garrido vote.
He's the new Garrido.
Of a very contentious last couple of elections in the 45th ward. But Jim Gardner, right now, it's over. There's one precinct that hasn't reported, and he's over 51%, Jim Gardner, so he wins.
I believe it was Gardner who put out a mailer a couple of days ago. Devastating. It shows like 8 or 10 photographs of closed businesses all up in the Six Corners area, and then the banner across it says, "This is not economic."
I also want to point to the 20th ward. The 20th ward, which is Willie Cochran's ward, they're going to run. There were too many candidates. They're going to be a runoff.
But you're
looking at Jeanette Taylor. And it actually looks like it's going to be Nicole Johnson. So
really?
Very 28 and 23. Maddox didn't have a showing at all.
Women again
in the 20th ward, which that's Willie Cochran's ward and Cliff Kelly before that, and others. But the point being that you're right. You've seen a runoff with women in that ward. So there is something to be said, Marilyn, to what you're suggesting.
Well, it's really shocking, because the guy who everybody thought was going to be the number one, Keith Bailey, clearly fell apart. And Nicole Johnson, another millennial, I think she's not even 30 yet. And Jennifer Taylor, a more seasoned woman.
But so there you go. So we're seeing some aldermanic races rolling.
Women are voting.
There you go. Hermine Hartman, Ken Davis, Marilyn Katz, and Eric Zorn here as we cover the Chicago 2019 municipal election. Special election coverage heading until 11 o'clock. Patty's taking over at 10. 312-981-7200. We're paying close attention to second places in the mayor's race as more and more precincts are reporting. Let's see where we're at on that.
I can tell you
87%.
The gap with Daley is growing, but the gap between Preckwinkle and Daley, he's falling further and further behind. He's now 6,000
votes behind.
And he was just, you know, an hour or so ago, he was 4,000 votes behind.
And they are close to we were talking about 87-88% of the vote in, less than, I think it's almost 200 precincts left. So not a lot left out there in Chicago to change those numbers. But we can mail in and other things to talk about. Let's do this. Let's take a break, get the update on the latest numbers from Andre in the newsroom, and continue our coverage here on 720 WGN Radio.
Our city, our choices. This is special election night conversation and coverage on 720 WGN. Here's Justin Kaufman.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. It is special election coverage. Municipal election here in Chicago. We are looking at 90% of precincts reporting. And 84,000 votes for Lori Lightfoot. She is the clear winner at 17.5% of the vote. Second place, and as you mentioned, Eric, the gap is widening as Tony Preckwinkle has almost a 7,000 vote lead over Bill Daley.
Yeah, I haven't quite done the math yet, but it looks, you know, I mean, again, I don't see how if it were just the two of them in a race and there were this much percentage still out, you'd think, well, okay, you could have a movement like that even in an election like this. But there are other candidates who are going to be getting votes in the remaining. I mean, you're all going to get their percentage of votes. They're all going to, you know, Mendoza's going to get her 9% and Valls is going to, and so on. So I don't see where he makes up that ground. I think it's basically impossible.
Right, it's really 30,000 divided by 14.
So we have this. We have
14. Right.
One of the things that Lori Lightfoot said, this is what change looks like. And America's going to wake up tomorrow morning and see that Chicago is going to have an African American woman as its next mayor. That it nominated two African American women to run for mayor. Mm-hmm. That's big. It may not seem big to us because we know all the little nuances and stuff. But this is a headline.
Do you think that Trump is going to invade?
He'll build a wall
around Chicago. I mean, there is something to be said that, you know, as Eric just said, I don't know if Chicago is that surprised because the women and specifically women of color that ran in this race automatically made you think that there was going to be some success for women candidates.
I think it's a surprise. Lori is a surprise. I think she is a surprise. I mean, in all the polls, and I'm skeptical on these polls, but on all the polls, Tony was always in the lead.
You know what? I want to just interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt. Andrea, Bill Daley looks like he's coming to the stage. I want to see if we can
let's add it up to Bill Daley and see if we're getting a concession from him.
I'm here tonight with an outcome none of us had wanted. But because we respect the democratic process, we all must accept it, and we will move on. I congratulate Tony Preckwinkle and Lori Lightfoot on their victories. One of them will have the honor of being the next mayor of Chicago. But that can't stop any of us from continuing the work we began to improve our great city. We still live here. We still pay our taxes, raise our kids, contribute to our communities. And no matter who wins in April, our commitment to Chicago will never end. We need to push for safe, strong, affordable neighborhoods. We still need to push for reforms to government, and we still need better schools for our kids. We still need to extend opportunity to each neighborhood in this great city, and that's what this race was about, and that's what our future is about. So I want to thank the people of the city of Chicago. I also want to thank all those who ran and presented their ideas for the future. I wish them and their families well. I want to thank everyone who voted, including those who voted for my opponents. I respect your choice, and I respect your decisions. You did the most important thing anyone can do in a democracy. I'd like to say a special thanks to those who voted for me. I'd also like to thank everyone who contributed to me. Your support was vital as we pushed our message of no excuses and our vision of a city of 3 million people. I want to thank Ken Griffin for the support he gave me in this campaign, and I want to thank Jim Coyne and the Plumbers 130 for the support that they gave me. I'd like to thank our team who are all here tonight. You did the hard work, the phone calls, knocking on doors, and even though we fell short, we accomplished much. I was honored to be part of this team. Sam Scott, chair of our campaign.
And that's Bill Daley conceding, making a really nice statement, I thought, right off the top, Justin, when he said either Tony Preckwinkle or Lori Lightfoot will be the next mayor of the city of Chicago, saying it was a hard-fought campaign. Yeah. So, yeah, Bill Daley conceding that race. So it appears
a Daley concession speech. You don't see that often in the city of Chicago.
True. I don't think I've ever seen
We did not
very
expect
true.
I mean, we were just having a conversation right before he came on about votes and mail-ins and this and that. Can he do it? But he came through right here with a concession speech, so it is over.
Well,
What you just saw was the most important moment in the entire election so far. I mean, he stepped aside. Didn't he? He essentially said it's going to be one of these two people.
Well, I hope that he set the tone.
Because he put his ego aside
for the good of the city.
It was a classy thing to do.
And that was a very classy, very Daly-ish kind of thing to do. And I really think I give him a lot of credit. And I hope that whoever wins, he will be part of
their
thinking to the future.
Yes, well, the next 3% that came in, he lost another 800 votes to Tony Preckwinkle. He just keeps falling further and further behind.
Yeah.
He saw what we've been seeing here, which is there was no path to victory for him.
It's amazing to me, and you mentioned it earlier, Marilyn, that you know there's not a lot. We shouldn't take too much stock from the idea that this is definitive. It was only 30% turnout, and you're talking about 17% of that.
Right.
But to see this matchup, the storylines for Chicago mayor couldn't be any better, because you have a Cook County Board president who is the Cook County Democrat chair, the new boss, who's also run on a progressive mantle. She's been a progressive. She has also been someone who could have been the progressive candidate in this race. But she is going up against a former federal prosecutor who ran against corruption, ran against Alderman Ed Burke and the Burke Four.
The Four Horsemen.
And grabbed Chicago's progressive community by the throat.
So Lori becomes the real progressive. Tony was the phony progressive.
You know, Hermine, I really want to challenge that.
All right, challenge it.
Let's go.
Here's what I would say. I mean, one, I would take from Michelle Obama, they better not go down when they need to go up, because they have to work together. And the fact is that what I know about Tony for the 35, 40 years is that she might have been friends with Ann Burke, but she voted against Burke for our entire coverage of the city council on every issue that mattered.
But Marilyn, here's what I mean.
So let me just say.
Okay.
I'm tired of women, and this goes for Lori too. When women get to be on the top, people say their competitiveness is bossism. And I think I'm a fan of Game of Thrones. Women should play, not to be nice, but to win.
But Preckwinkle called herself a boss, so I'm not using that word out of turn.
That's not my point. Here's my point, Marilyn. You can't be progressive and in the machine at the same time. You got to be one or the other.
Pick a lane?
No. Come on now.
You know what?
You can't. What? And that's whether you're a woman or a man. That doesn't have anything to do with gender.
You know what? I think when Obama became the head of the party, of the Democratic Party, that was a good thing. I think women have fought to control the party. I think it's a good thing. And it's what the party does. What was the first thing she did? She kicked off a judge from the Democratic ballot because he was corrupt and a convictor. So it's what you do, not your position. It's what you do with
she
power,
also
not
lied,
by
Marilyn. She lied.
Well, I not.
She
I
also lied.
I don't have a horse in this race, but I see that.
But you will have But you will have a horse in this race.
I won't.
Yes, you will.
Oh,
of course,
no,
you will. But she lied. Truth is the truth. I mean,
let's bring Eric and Ken in here. Ken, I mean,
is it
that simple? Is it that simple to say that this is a progressive versus machine?
I don't know. I really honestly don't know the answer to that. But what I was going to ask you is, before we all leave this panel tonight, I hope we'll get a chance to talk about what either of these mayors, what their relationship is going to be with the city council. Because we can begin, this is beginning to gel. We can see the city council is largely going to be pretty much the same as it was, I think.
There are a couple of interesting omissions.
Are we going to get a kind of a Harold Washington replay here? If Lori Lightfoot is the mayor, the people who run this city might be very scared of her, and they will be telling their aldermen.
Let me ask you this, though, because it used to be, even 4 years ago, 6 years ago, that you had a Alderman Ed Burke, who was the de facto leader of the city council, and everything had to go through him. He has had his power stripped. You see Alderman O'Connor in the 40th Ward on the ropes. He's going to runoff. He runs the finance chair. When you see Scott Wagaspak, who gets referenced by Lori Lightfoot, or you see what happened in the 49th Ward, or Joe Ward's out and progressives are in, are we seeing a changing of the guard of who are the power players in the city council?
Well, I think we're seeing some change of the guard, right? I mean, we're losing some aldermen. They're going to, and I think, you know, Burke is going to hang on, but he may not be in office that much longer, right? I mean, I mean, I think you're going to see some changes. I think it's going to be really interesting how strong a whip hand the new mayor is going to be able to hold, and what kind of alliances.
I think that's my point. Thank
what alliances she is going to be able
it's
to
gonna
maintain?
It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a Very raucous city council.
So great.
Incredibly independent. Owing nothing.
Great time to be
anyone.
A news reporter.
Yeah, yeah, right?
That'd be great.
All right.
Rock on.
Marilyn, here, Marilyn Katz, Ken Davis, Hermine Hartman, and Eric Zorn, our panel, until 10 o'clock. Andrea, let's get an update on the results. We saw Bill Daley's concession speech, but other races as well still playing out in city council.
That's right. We are still waiting to hear now from Tony Preckwinkle. We heard from Lori Lightfoot, who appears to be victorious in this first leg of the mayor's race with 17% of the vote. Lori Lightfoot has about 85,000 votes now. Tony Preckwinkle with nearly 78,000 in second place. So we're waiting to hear from Tony Preckwinkle. We did hear concession speeches from Bill Daley, Willie Wilson, Susana Mendoza, Amara Enya, Gary Chico, Paul Vallis, and Gary McCarthy. Chicago City Treasurer, we want to pop in with this race as well. Melissa Irvin appears to be victorious in this race. But again, it is somewhat close between she and Amaya Pawar. She appears, though, to be the victor in this race. Let's give you some of the aldermanic winners as well. In the first ward, it's Daniel Espada. The third ward, Pat Dowell. The fourth ward, Sophia King. Sixth is Roderick Sawyer. Seventh ward alderman, Greg Mitchell is the projected winner. In the eighth ward, it's Michelle Harris. In the ninth ward, Anthony Beal holds on to that seat. The 10th ward, Susan Garza. The 11th ward, Patrick Daly Thompson. In the 12th ward, George Cardenas. It appears as though Ed Burke in the 14th ward is going to be victorious there and hold on to his seat. On the 15th ward, right now, it is Ray Lopez, 16, Stephanie Coleman, 17, David Moore, 18, Derek Curtis, 19, Matt O'Shea. Then in the 22nd, Michael Rodriguez, the 23rd ward, Silvana Tiberis, 24th ward is Michael Scott Jr. Then the 25th ward is Byron Lopez, 27 is Walter Burnett holding on to his seat, 28, Jason Irvin, 29th, Chris Taliaferro. The 35th ward is Carlos Ramirez Rosa, 41, Anthony Napolitano holds on to his seat. In 44, Tom Tunney holds on to the Wrigleyville seat. 45, it's Jim Gardiner. 48 is Harry Osterman. 49, Maria Haddon. And in 50, the projected winner is Deborah Silverstein. So there we go with that right now. We'll have much more for you at 10 o'clock and still awaiting a speech from Tony Preckwinkle on 720 WGN.
Our city, state, our choices. This is special election night coverage and conversation on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Here's Justin Kaufman.
The results are in. We are going to see two women of color, two African-American women, Lori Lightfoot and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, in the runoff for mayor coming up on April 2nd. The aldermanic race is still playing out, but most of the precincts coming back. We are seeing a ton of runoffs with some of the strong incumbents, but the big ticket items, and we're talking about Alderman Ed Burke, he wins outright. Also, Tom Tunney up in the 44th ward, who was challenged by the Ricketts family. It wasn't even close to Tunney.
The others.
Yeah, but the others. Yeah, not Laura. Also, in the 49th ward, Alderman Joe Moore ousted by Maria Haddon, and in the 45th ward, John Arena beaten by Jim Gardner soundly, not even close in that one. So
Proco Joe as well, yeah. and 49
and Joe Moore, yeah.
Joe Moore. So those are the three
big ones, yeah. And Proco Joe loses to Daniel Espada 61-38.
All of those were at least at one time considered to be very progressive aldermen, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, mm-hmm. All of them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, I mean, not like the old, how did the old, how would you say the old guard did?
Well,
I mean,
let's say O'Connor's the old guard, and he is going to a runoff.
Ed Burke stuck in.
Marty Quinn, not even
so
close.
So O'Connor lives in a changing ward, very changing demographically.
Yeah.
Joe Moore, his base felt that he betrayed them. And they went another way.
Here's a good one. The alderman of the 30th ward, Roy Riss, who's been there for a long time, old guard, he is in a runoff as Luis Gutierrez's daughter.
Educated, lovely Jessica Gutierrez.
Jessica Gutierrez
spent a year in Israel. You know, she's kind of.
I mean, you're talking about 100 vote difference there.
Wow. I find it really interesting that the South Side wards, mostly African American wards, they just kind of stuck with their tried and true.
You know what?
It's an amazing thing. It's just like a whole block just stayed together.
It's an empowered block, and it was really. Let me go back to Rahm for a minute. The thing that struck me about Rahm and the silly hiding of the Laquan McDonald. Tape was that Chicago South Side, more than the West Side, but the West Side some too, feels empowered. They felt empowered since Harold Washington. And, you know, nobody was going to I think they're really stable, thoughtful, practiced.
Well, political. I believe I'm going to look it up right now.
No, and people who live in the wards.
The community.
The community.
Yeah, see, it looks like, so Roderick Sawyer in the 6th avoids a runoff. Yep. He's reelected.
Rod Strong.
Yeah, you have Leslie Harrison in the 5th, who ran a lot on the... I mean, that's that whole... And
Obama,
I have to say, though, I want to pull back on that, because this is really interesting. 92% of the precincts reporting, we had just automatically said Leslie Harrison was going to win. And I want to say, there's still 3 precincts out, but I don't think that'll change the results. Leslie Harrison is going to a runoff, and she, because she got 48.6% of the vote, 26.9% for Will Calloway. Oh. Will Calloway, the activist who was very present in the Laquan McDonald verdict. Mm-hmm. He was the spokesperson on the
street.
Yeah.
So
Will Calloway.
It'll be a heads up between Will
and Will and Leslie Harrison, a 5th. And that's going to be about the Obama Center, the South Shore violence. That's a very interesting development.
Yep. That's Hyde Park.
Yeah.
That's
huge. So that is a huge, because Eric, just I would say like maybe an hour ago, we were saying Leslie Harrison was going to win it all. So.
And how about the 6th ward? It looks like Sawyer.
Hey, Justin, I'm going to interrupt you again.
Robert Sawyer's going to hang on. But he's just a whisper.
Eric, hold on, Eric. What do we got? Ed Burke.
We had Ed Burke real briefly, but it was just a gaggle of reporters approaching him. We do have some photos, though, on WGNTV.com, some of the photographers there, as Burke was walking out, kind of giving the thumbs up and declaring his own victory there and just telling reporters that, he's thrilled, he's thanking his constituents. It was really just about 30 to 40 seconds of Ed Burke saying thank you to all of his supporters outside of his headquarters.
I have to say, though, I think you hit something there, that Leslie Harrison being forced into a runoff, another progressive caucus member who found struggle.
Community
Joe Moore.
Benefits, all that
stuff. And Proco Joe Moreno is not coming back. John Arena is not coming back. So I wonder if this is a very interesting moment, because Lori Lightfoot is the progressive candidate. She was backed and endorsed by Scott Wagespach, who did not have a challenger, but the actual progressive caucus, at least the names in the council, were ousted tonight.
Yeah, and that's why I was asking before, if Lori Lightfoot is fortunate enough to become mayor, what will her relationship with the city council be? Because there will be plenty of people, of forces in this city who will not like having her as mayor, just right from the get-go.
Because what?
Because she comes across as too progressive. They're not going to be interested in having her the police department apart.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
There's also, because I've also heard this from the really left, is that people feel not good about Lori because they say she sat on the police board for 6 years and did nothing. So it's a very tumultuous race for all. Everybody's got their really strong points and big weaknesses.
Last word, Marilyn Katz.
Last word. I'm looking to see that these two women don't get into a catfight now that it's just the two of them, that they really talk to the city about what the future looks like and how they're going to get there.
They will get in a catfight. There will be a catfight.
There are 2,400,000 Chicagoans over the age of 18. There are approximately 1.4 million registered voters in Chicago. About 400,000 voted, and about 17% of them voted for Lori Lightfoot. That's not easy to do.
Hermine and Eric are sticking around with Patty, so I'll give you guys the last word after you're done. Marilyn Katz, of course, MK Communications, a longtime political advisor, consultant, and activist in town. And Ken Davis, the host of CanTV's Chicago Newsroom, which you can check out every week. Thank you so much tonight for being panelists, and thanks to all the panelists tonight here on 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez coming up. She continues our special coverage of Chicago 2019. We're expecting to hear from Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle in the next couple minutes. Andre will have that and more here on 720 WGN. All right, Patty Vasquez coming up. She is going to continue the Chicago 2019 coverage here on 720 WGN. She, of course, is on the air until 1 o'clock tonight, but she has more to do, including a speech with Tony Preckwinkle, which is coming to Cook County Board President. She's excited. She's got a lot of energy.
I just served for 14 hours as a judge of elections.
Wow.
So I'm out working on 2 hours of sleep and witnessing democracy, and two black women are now going to go head-to-head for mayor of Chicago.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God!
So Toni Preckwinkle's she's coming up for her speech, and there will be much more, including candidates. So yes. We've been calling them. They'll be calling in. So a big show coming up. What do you got coming up this hour?
Oh, we've got we're going to check in with Eric Rung, who is at Lori Lightfoot's campaign. Hopefully, we'll hear from some folks who are obviously at Preckwinkle's campaign. We've got, of course, Eric Zorn hanging out with us, and Hermine Hartman also hanging out. Thank you for lending them to me. And great job, you guys! What an incredible night of coverage you guys have done, Justin.
No, well, it
really
continues.
Great. Pete,
it continues.
Andrea, this has been amazing. Yay!
I know, right? We're waiting for Toni Preckwinkle.
Okay, yeah, I'll stop talking. You do
things. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio and tune in.